Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 23rd, 2027. We'll start with a story titled Downtown Funding, Sidewalk Expansion, Breeze Bar and Grill Receives TIF Funding, and this is written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. And there's a picture of the Downtown Danville TIF program is going to be expanded. The sidewalk on East North Street to add a patio for Breeze Bar and Grill. The city is looking to add more areas for outdoor dining. Breeze Bar and Grill's downtown patio and sidewalk expansion is coming thanks to the Danville's Downtown TIF program. Logan Cronk, the Community Development Administrator for Danville, talked about what the $50,000 in grant funds going to Breeze Bar and Grill will do for the city. We proceeded with this design of essentially removing 5 to 6 parking spots on this section of the street, Cronk said. Hopefully we can identify more spots where businesses won't be impacted and we can have more outdoor dining or recreation on the sidewalks. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. added that there is another round of downtown TIF grants available. However, Ward 3 Alderman Thomas Hightower seemed to be against the idea of more funds going to the downtown, claiming his ward doesn't get helped. I would love to see more TIF money available for the east end of Danville, not pertaining to the Main Street corridor, Hightower said. This building is getting more money twice. We're not getting anything. It seems like it's going to be in one direction, and I'm not a big fan, so I'm going to abstain. Cronk responded, yes, there is going to be a pretty direct benefit to this business, but the intent is to hopefully keep doing this downtown and expanding traffic and expanding our sidewalks and allowing for more pedestrian traffic downtown. This kind of tagging along with the downtown revitalization plan, it just so happened that this business was the first to request this in front of their business. I have to change pages now, so give me 1 second here. Williams reminded Hightower there is a Main Street corridor TIF with grants funds available, but says no one has applied for it. There's people that want to start businesses to get things going, but there's no money or no funds or no resources available, Hightower said. It's a shame that I had to go to step up to find resources for my community center. Nobody wants to help anything in the poor section, as some of y'all call it. There's nothing out there for us. Nothing, Mayor. Absolutely nothing. We have to take the scraps of what's there, and it's annoying. Williams adamantly disagreed with Hightower. The vote continued after the disagreement with talks about a TIF district for Hightower's area in the future. Next story is titled Council Discusses Alderman Pay Raises, and again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. A raise for the Danville mayor was highly debated for weeks. Now aldermen also receive a raise? During Tuesday's Danville City Council meeting, those aldermen debated the merits of a pay raise and if it should be tied to attendance. I know when we discussed it previously, I was proposing attendance because it makes an increase in pay more palatable for the citizens, Ward 4 Alderman Tricia Teague said. For me, it was a give and take. It was let's give the aldermen more money to be able to stimulate more participation in city government from other people, because many of our aldermanic seats are unopposed every single election, Teague said. So if we actually increase pay, we might actually get more people running for these seats. However, most aldermen and Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. were against any raises. I believe you were the only one who has proposed changing the salary, and in fact, many of the aldermen spoke against changing and increasing the salaries, Williams said. We take this position or elected to this position to serve, and we should serve, Ward 2 Alderman Carolyn DeToy said. It's not about our pocketbooks, and I am not for any kind of raise. It bothers me a little bit that we're even discussing pay, because it to me, it shouldn't be about pay. It should be about service. Ward 3 Alderman Sharon Pickering disagree with tying attendance to pay. I would say we've been very, very fortunate in our last 4 to 6 years that our attendance has been good, Pickering said. I do remember when we had people that maybe would, and I have to change pages again, so sorry, council, would show up at meetings 3 times a year. There was also discussion of how to make the attendance policy work for those who are unable to attend. We can certainly take everything that you all have provided into consideration, make some adjustments, and bring that to the committee for further discussion, Williams said. The main reason why I brought up pay is because in the analysis that I did at the same time that I was analyzing the mayor's salary, I was also analyzing the alderman's salary, Teague said. And when you compare us to all the other cities that are just like ours, we have the lowest pay. And also, if I recall correctly, when we increased the pay 2 to 4 years ago, whenever it was the first pay increase in over 20 years. Teague said she does not need a pay increase. She was just adamant that the mayor's salary is raised, aldermen should be raised as well. The mayoral salary raised to $130,000 approved in March. Williams said the decision would have to be finalized by October 8th for it to take effect in the next election. Next story is titled Watchfire Brings AI to Digital Signage, written by a staff reporter in Danville. Watchfire, a leading manufacturer of LED lights, LED signs, digital boards, and digital signage solutions, announces the launch of a new patent-pending AI-powered content feature built directly into its Ignite OPX platform. According to a release from the company, the Ignite content generator is the first of its kind, and it is designed specifically for digital signage, enabling users to create custom images using text-to-image instructions inside the Ignite OPX environment. By transforming simple text prompts into high-quality visuals optimized for LED displays, the feature helps organizations keep their content fresh, relevant, and engaging. Unlike generic AI image platforms, the Ignite content generator creates images that are optimized for LED displays. Content is generated directly in the Ignite OPX editor and satisfies unique requirements for outdoor digital signage, including resolution, viewing distance, readability, and content optimization, helping even the most inexperienced users enhance custom messages for their outdoor digital displays. Content creation remains one of the biggest challenges for digital signage users, said Carol Wade, Senior Director of Marketing at Watchfire. We developed a tool that removes barriers and helps our customers create high-quality content quickly and easily. What makes a difference is that it was designed specifically for digital signage. The images generated are optimized for how LED displays are actually viewed and used in the real world. The new feature is integrated directly into Ignite OPX's custom content editor, allowing users to generate original images from simple text prompts without switching between multiple software platforms. Users can also refine and enhance generated images to achieve the desired look and feel for their messaging. Watchfire previewed the technology with dealer partners during ISA's International Sign Expo earlier this year, where the response was overwhelmingly positive. And just real quick, there is a picture of Watchfire Signs announces the launch of new patent-pending AI-powered content feature built into its Ignite OPX platform. And I'm getting ready to switch pages here again, so give me a second. But it starts with many generative AI tools available were developed for, and change the page, sorry, General Graphic Design application, said Wade. Our dealers immediately recognized the difference. They appreciated that technology understands the context of digital signage and creates content that performs beautifully on LED displays. The Ignite content generator is available as an optional subscription with Ignite. Within Ignite OPX, new users can take advantage of a 30-day free trial. Following the trial period, subscriptions start at $9.99 per month and include monthly image generation credits with additional credits available for purchase as needed. The launch and patent registration reflect WatchFire's ongoing investment in Ignite OPX, the company's proprietary content management platform used by tens of thousands of digital signage operators across North America. Recent enhancements have included expanded content libraries, franchise content deployment tools, image optimization capabilities, and multi-size content management features designed to help customers maximize the effectiveness of their digital signage programs. For more information about Ignite Content Generator and Ignite OPX, visit www.watchfire.com. Okay, there's just a couple of obituaries today. Mary K. Ann Wagner, 87, of Danville, passed away on July 17th of 2026. A celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. on Monday, July 27th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center. Visitation will be held on Sunday, July 26th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. And then there's Robert Bob Dale Rourke, 78, of Westville, passed away peacefully surrounded by family on Monday, July 20th. Born in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held on Tuesday, July 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. CST time at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center's Urbis Chapel at 414 South State Street in Westville, Illinois. We will start the visitation with military rites at 4 p.m. CST time and conclude with Masonic rites at 8 p.m. CST time. Attendees are encouraged to share their favorite racing memories and wear their favorite racing casual attire. Please join the family with pictures and videos at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Okay, next story is titled Beef House Presents Come From Away, written by a staff reporter, and there's a picture of Judy Hawkins of Lafayette Indiana Center was one of the more than 7,000 people grounded in Gander, Newfoundland on September 11th of 2001, which is the basis of the musical Come From Away, set for the Beef House Theater starting Friday, July 24th. Hawkins is joined by members of the cast and production team. And this is from Covington, Indiana. The Beef House Dinner Theaters presents Come From Away, a 2017 musical by Irene Sankoff and David Hine, beginning this Friday, July 24th. The performance is set for evening shows at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, July 24th and Friday, July 31st, with matinees set for 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, July 25th, Sunday, July 26th, Wednesday, July 28th, Thursday, July 30th, that can't be right, though, but that's what it says, and Saturday, August 1st, and Sunday, August 2nd. The cost is $72, which includes the show, a buffet dinner, salad, famous Beef House rolls, soft drink, desserts, tax, and fees. Tickets for the show only are $45 with dessert and soft drinks included. Group rates are also available for groups of 20 or more. For reservations, call the box office at 217-499-3555, that's 499-5355, or visit the website at www.beefhouserolls.com/theater. In preparation for Come Far Away, the Beef House Dinner Theater welcomed a very special guest, Judy Hawkins of Lafayette, Indiana, who was abroad a United Airlines flight from London's Heathrow Airport to Chicago on Tuesday, September 11th of 2001, making her one of the plane people that spent days in Gander while American airspace was closed. Her flight was one of 36 planes that diverted to Gander, Newfoundland, and was grounded there for 6 days. Her story, along with almost 7,000 others, provides the source material of the musical Come Far From Away by Sankoff and Hine. Hawkins met with cast and creative team members of the BHDT production and brought her real-life perspective to the amazing stories told in the hit musical. Hawkins and her husband, Colin, were returning to the United States after visiting family in England when their captain announced that due to catastrophic events in New York City, their plane would land in Gander. The cast includes several young cast members who were born after the September 11th tragedy. They listened intently as Hawkins told her story. Noah Acree, who plays Kevin T. and others, stated that they teach about September 11th in school, but hearing this makes it very real. Lainey Ferryman, who portrays Bonnie, added, "Reading about it is nothing compared to hearing it firsthand." Immediately preceding the shows on Sunday, July 26th and Wednesday, July 29th, Hawkins, as well as members of the cast and creative team, will participate in a talkback with audience members answering questions about the process of producing the show. Hawkins will speak about her time in Newfoundland. For reservations or more information, visit www.beefhouserules.com/theater or call the box office at 217-499-5355. Next story from a staff reporter in Danville, but Mary Thompson Community Day is set for August 2nd at Lincoln Park, and there is a little picture of Mary Thompson in there. The City of Danville Human Relations Commission announced that the 32nd Annual Mary Thompson Community Day will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, August 2nd at Lincoln Park. According to a release from the city, Community Day honors the rich diversity of our community while celebrating values and experiences we share. Through music, food, and community resources, residents can connect, learn, and enjoy all that makes Danville unique. A free meal, live entertainment, and entertainment by Candy Foster and the Shades of Blue, in connection with the Alderman and city staff. The event is brought to you by the Human Relations Commission and the many generous sponsors to make this event possible. To get involved or for more information, please email Heather Runyon at runyan@cityofdanville.org or call 217-431-2874. And then right below this, there's a picture of the Danville Fire Department officially promoted firefighter Devin Hendricks to the rank of lieutenant during a public swearing-in ceremony on Tuesday, July 21st, at the Danville City Hall. Hendricks has over 7 years of service with the Danville Fire Department. He serves on the Department of Hazardous Materials Team, Fire Investigation Team, and Honor Guard. Next story is titled "Hoopston Man Sentenced to Prison for Home Invasion," and again written by a staff reporter in Danville. Dwight Rowe, 34, of Hoopston, pled guilty to home invasion on July 14th. According to a release from the state's attorney office, Rowe was sentenced to 15 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for the Class X felony. He will also serve 18 months of mandatory supervised release following his term of imprisonment. During the sentencing hearing, the victim presented a poignant impact statement. In it, she said, "I lost the ability to move through the world without caring what you did to me. I don't think I could ever be happy with a sentence that doesn't put you away for life for the harm and the damage that you have caused to not just me, but my children. Simply because of lifelong impact, these crimes have had on me and my children, because while you may eventually finish your sentence, I will continue living with the consequences of your choices. The difference is this. You chose what happened on October 11th of 2023. I chose to survive, she said. The people presented evidence that on October 11th of 2023, Roe entered the victim's residence in Rossville. The victim had previously obtained an order of protection against the defendant that prohibited him from having contact with her. The victim reported to police that she was working from home when the defendant entered her bedroom and attempted to initiate a sexual encounter. When the victim rejected the defendant and tried to get away, the defendant became violent, grabbed the victim about her body, and punched her in the face. The defendant strangled the victim until she lost consciousness. The victim suffered from physical injuries. Our thoughts are with the victim as she continues to recover from the violence and trauma she endured at the hands of this repeat offender, said State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey in a release. We are grateful for her courage and cooperation. I would also like to thank the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department for their investigative work and their dedication to pursue justice for this victim. My office remains steadfast in its commitment to holding violent offenders accountable and ensuring they face consequences of their actions. The plea and sentencing hearing were presided by Judge Mark S. Goodwin. Next story is titled Next story is titled Former Pastor Arrested on Out-of-State Warrant, written by Christy Jankowski in Henning. Gary Aravet, former pastor of Shiloh Apostolic Court, is back in custody at the Vermilion County Jail. Captain Mike Hartshorn and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office confirmed on Tuesday that Aravet is back in custody. It is an out-of-state warrant, said Hartshorn, noting the warrant was from Leavenworth, Kansas. Aravet's attorney was in court for him on July 20th for charges dating back to July of 2023. He faces three counts of criminal sexual abuse of a family member under the age of 18. When Aravet was originally accused of the charges, Illinois operated under cash bail. His bail amount was $100,000, which he met. He was also ordered to have no contact with anyone under the age of 18 or contact with the victim or enter the victim's residence. For the past 3 years, his case has still been waiting to go to trial. Aravet is due in court next at 9 a.m. on September 1st in courtroom B at Garmin Vermilion County Courthouse for pretrial. Next one by Christy Jankowski is Danville teen pleads not guilty in shooting in Danville. Damian X. Gore, 18, has pled not guilty to his charges related to a shooting incident on May 18th. Gore's case was set for felony arraignment on Tuesday, July 21st. Gore is said to have been involved in a shooting during a domestic incident. The Danville Police Department investigated the shooting. Deputy Chief Doug Miller said it happened in the 1300 block of May Street. Miller said officers went to the address after a 911 call came through with a loud disturbance in the background. When officers arrived, they found a man with a gunshot wound. Gore was charged with aggravated battery with a firearm and unlawful use of a weapon. Miller also said DPD officers found the gun used at the scene. The man who was shot was released from the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Gore is back in court on September 21st for pretrial. And then the next story is titled Danville Man Arrested on Weapon Charges in Danville. And this is a staff reporter in Danville. A Danville man was arrested Monday by Danville police for unlawful possession of a weapon. According to a release from Danville Police, members of the Street Crimes Unit were conducting enforcement near the intersection of Fowler Avenue and English Street when they observed a vehicle with suspended registration traveling southbound on Fowler Avenue. The vehicle pulled proceed to a driveway into the 900 block in the 900 block of Fowler, where officers initiated a traffic stop. Officers observed Damarian Tyler, 20, of Danville, exit the vehicle and ignore officers' commands to stop. Tyler walked to a nearby house and attempted to hand the backpack he was wearing to a subject inside the residence. Officers detained Tyler and located a firearm in his backpack. Tyler was arrested on the charge of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and transported to the Vermilion County Jail. The Danville Police Department would like to remind everyone that all suspects are considered innocent unless proven guilty in a court of law. Anyone with information related to this investigation is encouraged to contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or to report a tip to the Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org or using the mobile app P3Tips or by calling 217-446-TIPS-8477. Okay, we'll run to some community briefs. July events for Hoopston Library. The Hoopston Public Library at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston have two more events set for the month of July. History Under Our Feet Family Scavenger Hunt is set for 2 p.m. on Thursday, July 23rd. Teams, which should include at least one adult, 18 or older, will have 90 minutes to find and take pictures of clues around the area. The team that finds the most clues in the allotted time is the winner. Pre-registration is recommended. To sign up, call 217-283-6711 or stop by the library. To end the month, the Hoopston Public Library is hosting a ride through the time from 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, July 30th. A collection of vintage vehicles will be on display in the library, from the library, while inside there will be a display of vintage tools, toys, household items, and more. Get your picture taken in our history corner and then top it off with a cool treat from Sunday Fun Day. For more information on any event, contact the Hoopston Public Library at 217-283-6711. Amish author visits Danville. Kevin Williams, the editor of the Amish Cook, and is visiting Silk and Spine Books and Boutique at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville to sign copies of his book, Not So Simple, My Adventures Among the Amish, Mennonites, Shakers, and Other Plain People. Williams will talk about the column and his journalism journey, answer questions, and sign books. The event will be held at 2 p.m. on July 23rd at Silks and Spines Books and Boutique at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Danville Rotary calling sweet corn, selling sweet corn. The Danville Sunrise Rotary will be selling sweet corn at the former Scooter's Coffee Shop on North Vermilion Street in Danville. Money raised will be used to help local businesses aiding children, seniors, and veterans in our community. For more information, call 217-497-9024. And then ECICAA hosts Golf Scramble. The East Central Illinois Community Action Agency is hosting its 6th annual golf fundraiser scramble on Friday, July 24th at Rivercrest Golf Course at 14 Clubhouse Drive in Covington, Indiana. Registration will begin at 8 p.m. Central Time on July 24th, while a putting contest will be held at 9 a.m. and a shotgun start set for 10 a.m. Early registration fee is $75 per player or $300 for a four-member team, while the fee for a Rivercrest member is $60. On the day of the event, the fee will be $85 per player or $340 per team. Registration forms are available at the ECICAA website at www.comaction.org under News or Upcoming Events tab, or you can contact them by phone at 217-554-9122 or by email at comaction@comaction.org or stopping at their office at 56 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. That'll be it for today, Thursday, July 23rd. 2026. Looks like it's going to be a good weekend. Not supposed to get really warm again until later in the weekend. So enjoy today and tomorrow when you can. Enjoy that sun. It's a beautiful day out there. Hope you all have a good week and to see you again next week. Take care. Bye.